Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Ryan Burrow, Steve Bertrand here. It is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. A couple of Cleveland Indian fans just walked by, so I used the street microphone to boo at them, and it knocked them off the game a little bit, and that's okay for me. Andrea Haynes is in the studio as well from Blue Sky Innovation, the editor there. You can read that in the Tribune and at chicagotribune.com. Andrea, I just love that Cubs uniform you're wearing today.
It's very nice. Of course.
It's more of a road uniform, not quite their home, not the pinstripes, but...
I'm ready.
Okay. So, before we go much further, because I almost forgot, you know, we talked last week about Songfinch, and it's this Chicago startup, very cool idea that for $200, you can give them all kinds of details about your life or your wife or your kids, and they'll write a song for you. And we'll see how it goes if they succeed, but they have just released a Cubs song, a nice sort of tie-in for them to get a little publicity for them, but why not? Let's listen to a bit of that. From Songfinch, and why not a little love for them?
Because I think it's funny.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea what they're coming up with. Okay, today's stories. I want to talk about this company, Public Rec, because here's a guy who says that he couldn't find a pair of sweatpants that fit him well, so he's designed his own, and now other people are buying them for $95 a piece.
I know, it's funny. It's part of this whole athleisure trend, which I think women probably maybe
spearheaded a little bit. Women maybe own
that trend a little bit. But the guys want to get in on it, too. And I feel like nothing, you know, do I see more these days but commercials about, I hope I can say underwear on WGN radio, but men's comfortable, like, shirts that tuck in right and underwear that are just right. And now they want to go to work in sweatpants.
Well, there are those guys who came up with, what is it? It's called Untucked, right? It's
exactly, a line
of shirts that looks perfect untucked.
Yep.
And so this guy said that the sweatpants never quite fit him right. And I'm sorry, I spent more time thinking about that than I needed to, probably. But so he's come up with this, you can buy these sweatpants with an inseam and waist size. And, I mean, they're still just kind of sweatpants in the end, right?
And, like, a little more, you know, swank. I think the idea is you can wear them for more than, like, probably picture the gray drawstring tie, baggy sweatpants. So, you know, the athleisure trend takes up the look a little bit so that you can kind of be, you know, fronting that you're wearing something decent while you have the comfort.
Right. Okay.
So I don't know. I'm making the case here.
Those are called, what are they called? Those jean pajamas? Are there something?
Yeah. Else? Yes. There's the pajama jeans.
Pajama jeans. That's it. So he also sells, I think, a jacket, and there's a t-shirt, a go-to tee, for $54. So I'm sure they're very comfortable. It was remarkable. To me is that he went on Kickstarter, wanted to raise $15,000, and what, he ended with $180,000?
Yeah, one of those things that really lit a fire on Kickstarter. So, you know, I think his argument is if you're buying designer jeans, that may seem like a lot, but the jeans are going to cost you three times that and not be as comfortable. I don't know, maybe it's, you know, I feel like millennials, they have different shopping habits, different patterns, and I think you and I just might be a little behind the times in what we think about the price of things.
Let's open up a shop too, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's kind of we'll see how it impacts our culture and style.
Speaking of opening up a shop, there's this mystery tackle box company that's local, and they are an online service. They're hoping to have a physical presence as well. But tell me about Mystery Tackle Box.
Yeah, so they're based in Chicago, and they do this whole monthly box thing, which people may have experienced in different ways.
So there's like a beer of the month?
Beer of the month, kind of. You know, there's this whole health and beauty version of it where you guys, you know, there's a makeup kind of version that's really popular where every month, and there's a surprise factor. So you get a box of makeup samples or a box of, you know, health and beauty items. It's kind of a surprise. They have pet versions, so every month you get a box of treats and toys for your pet.
So you'll pay someone to send you something that you're not expecting.
Exactly.
And that you might not want.
Yes, that's true. It kind of feels like a present. I think often it's, you know, kind of sampling. The idea is you'll find a few things in the box that you like and want to repurchase. So it's a way of kind of maybe giving the consumer some fun and giving, you know, new companies a chance to get their products out there.
And so they've had this box, this tackle box that they've been, people, subscribers, they send them once a month, right?
Exactly. So literally for fishermen. So it's like bait and tackle box. And it's the same idea that once a month you get it, you kind of have an idea of what's in there, but it'll be a surprise as to exactly what it includes.
And now they want to move beyond that and try to establish a broader business model.
Yep. I think they're realizing that whole monthly box thing might have its limits. You know, maybe it's a trend that passes, or just, you know, if you're really into fishing, you
probably... How many lures do you need, right?
Well, yeah, and you probably do fall in love with certain types of products, whatever it is. You want to be able to buy more of those. So they don't want people to decide they like things that they get in the box and then go to Amazon to buy it. They want to create that online, you know, version themselves where you can come back to be a repeat customer for things you want.
So mystery tackle box, watch for them. And I think they want to have a physical presence as well, right?
They're talking about it. I mean, the physical presence, they have some pretty big competitors.
Really big competitors.
Yes.
All right, one more then. These coding schools, these coding boot camps, you know, there's a lot about for-profit education, for-profit schools, and these coding schools seem to be like riding the razor's edge between those two sorts of things.
Yeah, they've been kind of a fledgling version of it. It's something we see in the startup community in various industries where they're kind of starting out. Maybe people don't pay a whole lot of attention. But now as this becomes more and more popular, more expensive, more and more people are doing it, the scrutiny is increasing. So people want to make sure that if students are paying for this, that there's some standards by which they're advertising, you know, what the job placement rates are and key facts like that.
And that's what they're working on now, trying to figure out how to sort of herd these cats into agreeing to a sort of common judging standard.
Exactly.
Who goes to this? I mean, are these people coming in with no computer background, or are they people who already have degrees?
I think sometimes it is. It's like people that may have degrees in other areas, but they just are realizing more and more what coding can kind of do for you in your career. So I think a lot of times it is career changers, but maybe younger career changers who want to learn that. And they can be, you know, $10,000 for tuition. Oftentimes, or at least some of the time, they're full-time programs. So there's also sort of an opportunity cost if you're quitting another job to do it. So there's some effort to make sure that when you're doing that, you kind of know what you're buying. And really that centers around the job placement rates. That's what people want to compare when they go to for-profit programs like this, and they want to make sure there's some kind of way you can get honest, you know, job placement reporting that's comparable among the schools.
You can read more about that at chicagotribune.com/bluesky. The same for all the other stories we talked about. Andrea Haynes, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here on a Friday. It is, the weather. Who cares what the weather is? It's perfect. Game 3 of the World Series coming up tonight at Wrigley Field. Tom Gimbel, the man behind the LaSalle Network, is in the studio in his Cubs hoodie. Welcome
great
back,
to be
boy.
Great to be with you. Actually, I'm taking a buddy of mine from the office, and he brought me the sweatshirt as a thank you.
Nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
I was at my desk today.
A little bit later, we're going to talk to Mitch Weinberger, who's a beer vendor at Wrigley. I know you ran into Mitch.
He's a great guy and as passionate as they come.
Did he try to sell you anything?
He asked me for a $50 deposit on beer for tonight.
I look forward to talking to Mitch a little bit later, and we'll talk about the chance of getting tickets as well with Andy Anderson from Game Time VP. But, you know, the last time we talked, I was out in Barrington talking about, we were at Tree Time, but I was talking to you over the phone and about the leadership qualities that you can take from the Cubs and apply everywhere else. Because I think, really, there's tremendous talent on this team and all of that. But I just feel like Joe Maddon and Theo Epstein and the tone that they have set really has created something special here.
Take it one step further and start with Ricketts.
Okay, right, exactly.
I really believe that it starts at the top, and I think these are the problems, on the other side of town with the Bears and the problems that they have, right, is that Ricketts did it, and he hired a baseball guy to be president, and the baseball guy hired a baseball guy to be general manager in Jed Hoyer, and then they thought about the culture they wanted the team to have, and they had the first manager to get them through the bad times, and then they knew, but he could have gotten Francona. Francona hasn't been with the Indians the whole time Theo's been with the Cubs.
Right.
He didn't pick Francona for this group. He picked Francona for the other group. right? For the Red Sox.
Right.
So you got to think about this. He could hire anybody. He's Theo Epstein, who won two World Series. He picked a manager for the culture Theo wanted to have. Right. This whole team, you need the talent. I'm not going to say that without talent. Right. But there's a lot of great teams, Washington Nationals being one of them, that haven't gotten to the pinnacle because of culture.
And you take then the boss, you choose your team, you hire your people, and you talk about the fact that then you need to trust those people you chose
to do the job. And look, that's why I say it starts with Ricketts, because he kept Crane Kenny on when nobody in this town wanted Crane Kenny to be affiliated with the Chicago Cubs. And what did Kenny do? He got the parking lot torn down to build the hotel. He got the stadium to be rebuilt. He got the everything. So now you say it wasn't Kenny, it was the Tribune. Ricketts allowed the good business people to do their thing.
Let's go to Joe Madden. And I'm thinking of John Lackey pitched,
yep.
Right? And Lackey was beefing, I think, when he was taken out of an NLCS game. And, and Lackey does that. It's not my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking Madden about it later. And he goes, he needs to blow off some steam. I mean, rather than being upset that he was kind of shown up or given all that, he just said, well, that's Lackey. He'll be fine in a day or two. He knows his people and he knows how to let them be who they are.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in other cities, there would have been a big blow up with the Rizzo and the Baez catching the pop up.
Right.
There isn't on this team because the chemistry he creates. And they asked Madden, I was really impressed by this the other day. Tell me about the pep talk you gave after game one, before game two, because I didn't say anything different. I said, they don't need me to motivate them because my job is to manage the game now.
And by not managing them, he's managing 100%. Them every way.
100%.
Yeah, and it goes back to the pajamas, the road trips, and all of that. They've set an atmosphere that when things don't go well, they still have this ability to have fun and know that things are going to pick up.
I mean, if you listen, what did they say? What's the expression? If you listen to the fans, one day you'll be sitting with them.
Right.
And his thought process, from what I read in the interviews I've seen, if you look at this thing, Schwarber's not playing in Chicago. They won 103 games and beat the Dodgers in the NLCS without Schwarber.
Right.
This is a great team.
Okay, so take all of that and just put a bow on it. Then what do business leaders take from the Cubs?
So what you have to do, whether you're the CEO or a vice president of a division or what have you, is you've got to look at your people and you've got to ask them, what's their philosophy on the people side? Not the business, the people side. How often do they check in and how do they view the emotional intelligence of how they go about their job versus the actual work product? Because you can have great hitters, doesn't mean that they're good teammates.
Right.
And that's what Madden gets.
Tom Gimbel, the man behind LaSalle Network, LaSalleNetwork.com.
You got it.
All right, have a great time this weekend. I'll be thinking of you.
Hey, let's bring it home.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's the song we were playing earlier from Songfinch. It's an outfit, a new Chicago startup where you give them a couple $100 and they'll write a song for you, custom-made for a birthday gift or something like that. It's kind of cool. So they just released one about the Cubs. Ryan, before you go, I get a lot of conspiracy emails and things like that, and I got one about 15 minutes ago. It said, FBI reopens Clinton investigation, and I thought, there's another whack. And it's true. What's going on there?
It's October. Surprise.
Well, that could be a huge October surprise.
Absolutely. Apparently, FBI Director James Comey telling congressional leaders that they are going to look a little further into Hillary Clinton's emails. This as the result of some existing emails that appear to be pertinent to the investigation. They were actually looking into a case that wasn't involved in this, and somehow these two cases are connected in one form or another.
Do you know, are they going to reopen the central question of her, or are they going to look at her emails in connection with an unrelated case?
We don't know that at this point. We don't know the extent of an investigation. We don't know how long an investigation will last, but the FBI director confirming that they're going back into it, looking back into these Hillary Clinton emails due to something that they found or flagged while doing another investigation. There may have been some emails that they were not made aware of.
I have never seen anything like this. this election, and we're, what, 10 days or so away now. So, all right, Ryan, I know Ryan will be following that, and we'll keep you updated all afternoon. I want to give you one other reminder about something. You know, Will Flanagan and Jim Dahlke from Chicago Inno are with me every Monday, and they've got this big event called 50 on Fire. It's coming up December 8th. The 50 on Fire is an event that looks at people and businesses that are heating up their respective industries, and you can buy early bird tickets, and that ends at 6 o'clock tonight. So if that's something that sounds cool to you, it does to me, check out ChicagoInno.com and pick up the tickets there. All right, back to the business at hand. It is 12:39 in Chicago, and sitting next to me is Mitch Weinberger, who's a beer vendor at Wrigley Field. And Mitch, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm smiling because, you know, you and I met. I have this travel business, and I took a group of WGN listeners to Italy a couple years ago, and Weinberger was on my group. Just a wonderful guy. We have so much fun with him and together, and we learned on that trip that you were a vendor at Wrigley.
Absolutely.
Must be wild there. Tell me about it.
It's tremendously exciting. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we've all been waiting our entire lives for this, and the Cubs team is just stacked with talent.
Now, and how long have you been a vendor there?
I've been a vendor 30 years. This is my 30th year.
Right. And
I'm only 35, so.
Right, no. And so you strike me as a guy who took this job not because you wanted to sell beer, but just because you wanted to be close to the Cubs.
Well, it's fantastic. I'm a fan, obviously. Grew up with my brother being fans, living in the north suburbs. And, you know, you get to kibitz with the fans. You get to have a fantastic time. You're out there in the sunshine, in the heat, which gets to be a little much, but you see the games, or you can watch the games while you're working somewhat, and you're making good money.
Right.
You can't beat it.
So what is it like there for the NLCS? And now tonight, you will be there tonight selling beer at a World Series game. What do you think of that?
It's the best of both worlds. I get to be there. I certainly will be paying attention to the game. And fans are going to be buying and tipping. It's amazing that they tip nicely on top of the crazy beer prices.
What do you have in common with Anthony Rizzo? You're both going to be paid to be there tonight.
Exactly.
Not too shabby.
That's about the only thing, I think. Thank you.
How different is the crowd? Has the crowd been at the playoffs when compared to, you know, the regular season?
Well, you certainly run into some famous people. I had the fortune of meeting Magic Johnson. And
Did he tip?
He did not buy, I do not believe, but he was very friendly, flashed the great magic smile.
Yeah.
And your local guys, Eddie Vedder and John Cusack, and they tipped and bought, and Chris Chelios tipped and bought, and it's just amazing. It is more electric, obviously, than your regular games, but it's been building and building because everyone knows how great the team has been.
And so, yeah, we were talking about that off the air, and I've said this before, there's just an expectation, and that's always dangerous, but there's an expectation that it's just almost inevitable it's going to happen.
You know, on paper, it looks like it, certainly. We, with the Cubs, you cannot count on it until it actually happens. But I think we all believe, I believe, they have the home field advantage now, and this team just looks like this is the year.
So what is your favorite part of doing this? What brings you the most joy?
Well, I'm not going to lie and say I don't like the paydays. The paydays are very good. It's hard work, and it's worth it. But I really like just having fun with the fans. You know, it doesn't really seem like a job. You don't have to go if you don't want to. If you're not feeling well on a day, you don't go.
Right.
You don't clock in and out like a normal job. The atmosphere, the whole thing about it. It's hard to put into words. But that park, even when the team is not good, the fans buy. The park is more full than it should be in past years. And the loyalty of the fans is amazing. Sometimes you have to drink to watch the team in the past. You have to drink.
And that's not bad for you, right?
Not bad at all. So business is good, whatever. Winning, losing.
Now, are you a Cubs employee?
No. We work for the food service company.
Okay.
So this is probably like the fourth different food service company
right.
in my 30 years there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it just moves from one to the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just ask you. We were talking about what happens when beer sales stop. Can we talk about that on the air or we're not?
I guess we could talk about that
so
on the air.
Tell me.
You know, the park is so unbelievably crowded. Obviously, beer sales stop about the seventh inning, and then we're supposed to check out, and when we have to swipe in and out each day. Down here at the end in the playoffs, the NLCS and the World Series, they actually, the food service company, wants us to check out and leave the park.
You need to leave the park.
That is what we are supposed to do, correct?
Okay.
Leave the park and, you know, take part, obviously, in a huge celebration and the whole thing. But leave the park.
That's as far as we need to go with all that. But I was that's kind of a drag that they expect to kick you guys out.
I would say it's kind of a drag, yes. But, of course, you know, leave the park is what we do.
He says. Okay. And so after the NLCS, you know, last Saturday, so many people in the neighborhood. Do you hang out in the neighborhood or do you try to get out of it?
Oh, no. I hang out. It's it's worth sitting in traffic for 10 hours after the game if right. need be. Although I got very lucky when we clinched the last series. My car happened to be parked the right direction, facing the right direction, and I did not get stuck in traffic after seeing all the speeches and the whole thing and hanging out and talking to some season ticket holders.
This is Mitch Weinberger. He's a beer vendor at Wrigley and a Steve Bertrand travel passenger. He's just, you know, you're so much fun. And you sent me a picture last year. I had a group going to France and you were at the playoffs. And I know how much fun you were having last year. So I'm just so happy that you're enjoying this and having, you just got a smile from ear to ear. You usually do.
I appreciate that. Yeah, last year I was able to. I was right down in the front row at the end when they had, when we got eliminated. And the players came out and saluted the fans. It was fantastic. And Jake Arrieta and Kyle Schwarber came by and ran by the first base side by the tarp. And we all high-fived them. And I sent a little clip of that friends of mine took a picture of.
And so Mitch doesn't realize this, but he's going to offer a 75% discount on all beers of people who listen to the Business Lunch.
And I do look like Steve Bertrand. So if you want to find me tonight, I am about 6'4", like Steve. So please hit me up, and I appreciate the business.
We look exactly alike. Look out there, a couple of fellow travelers out there.
This studio is amazing.
Yeah, okay, Weinberger, have a great time. I really am happy for you. Soak it in, and... just enjoy it.
Thank you, Steve. I apologize for not bringing the samples. It was nice of you to have me on the air, even though I didn't bring the samples that you pointed out when I first arrived today.
Well, you know, the weird thing is I'll be here Monday.
Okay. All right.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. I don't know. Are they tickets to paradise? They might be. Andy Anderson is in the studio. He's a vice president at Game Time. Andy, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve. Happy to be here.
Come on into that microphone. Okay, so Game Time is, you know, we think of StubHub or whatever, but Game Time is a place to buy second market tickets, right, for the Cubs game and anything else like that.
Exactly. All live events all across the country, but... today we're selling Cubs tickets.
How's it look today?
It's actually looking pretty good if you are a Cubs fan looking to get in relative to how it was earlier in the week.
What do you mean by that?
We've seen prices come down pretty significantly. Typically, you know, this is very typical for a larger big event like this where prices start out sky high. I mean, not to say they aren't still sky high, but pretty high up there. And then as the event approaches, you know, prices come down a little bit.
So for today, what are we going to spend? If I was going to go to a game today, what would I spend?
So to get into the ballpark, you're looking at about $2,000, and that's not even going to get you a seat.
That's standing room only.
Standing room only.
And that's down. That's about half of what it was at the peak of demand, or?
Maybe about 50%. It was about 3,000 all
okay,
in.
Okay,
initially.
So down 50% then.
But what's interesting though is that we've seen.
I could buy a standing room only ticket today and save 50%.
You save 50% from what they were earlier in the week, exactly.
You were going to say, I'm sorry.
I was going to say what's interesting is we've really seen a compression in pricing around the higher end tickets. So if you were looking at, you know, infield club box, infield field box, those kind of tickets right now are about half what they were at the beginning of the week. So $10,000 for, you know, seats right on top of the Cubs or Indians dugout, now you might find for $5,000.
Are those tickets available?
They are. Still for sale.
Explain that for me a little bit, or tell me about. So you see these big events and ticket sales and the amount of tickets available. How does this World Series compared to other big events? You know, you understand my question? I mean, is it about the same amount of ticket inventory available, or are there more, or are there fewer?
It's comparable. I mean, there's the temptation out there of, hey, this is a lot of money that someone can cash their tickets in, and maybe they go to, you know, maybe they save their game 5 ticket hoping to see a clincher, and they say, you know what, I might cash in on that.
Tell me about that then through the weekend, because 5 Game 5, we know there's going to be one. I would assume that that right now is the most valuable ticket, but then I think some of the things I was reading from you is that actually Saturday's tickets are more expensive.
Yeah, so there's a really interesting dynamic going on right now in the market. So what you should expect to see is that prices will move with how the series goes.
Okay.
So if the Cubs win tonight, which if you look at the Vegas line, they're
going to win tonight, Andy.
That's what I'm betting on. And if the Cubs win tonight, prices are going to go up for both games. And if the Cubs win two in a row, or three, I guess it'll be three in a row technically, you know.
It's astronomical.
All bets are off on that Sunday.
But if the Cubs lose and it looks like they won't be the team with a chance to clinch on Sunday, then there are more tickets available and the price will drop?
Absolutely. And in fact, right now, you know, I checked before I came in here. There are about 1,000 tickets on the market for today's game, 3,000 for tomorrow's game, 5,000 for Sunday. So I think a lot of people are waiting to see what happens in the series.
And so you were telling me, too, that StubHub has to stop selling earlier in the day than you do, than game time, or than other groups do?
That's true. So that's part of the agreement that they have with StubHub and Major League Baseball. Every team is allowed to set when that cutoff is. And the Cubs all season have cut off 6 hours before start.
Why is that?
My best guess is that traditionally it's kind of to protect walk-up sales. Because
walk-up market today, Andy?
Not so much. I saw some people in line this morning early. Some of them might have gotten lucky and picked up some late releases. But
So let's go over a little strategy. If you do want a ticket this weekend, there probably are some do's and don'ts when it comes to getting the best bargain. What should people do?
Absolutely. So if you just want to go to a game, your best bet is today, and you want to look in that 2 to 3 hour window before a game. One interesting fact that we've seen with sales is that prices have actually gone up a little bit right at the start of the game. As inventory gets really low, it's kind of bounced back up from that 2 to 3 hour
window. So the people who think, well, I'm going to be smart, I'm going to wait till the game starts, that they start driving up demand again.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They say, I'm definitely going, and they're kind of hoping it's going to go down, but what ends up happening is there's a lot of people looking at that and thinking the same thing.
So the window is 2 to 3 hours before game time.
Now, as we talked about earlier with, you know, the probability of what's going to happen today, and if they do get that win, I think prices are going to go up. So if you are looking to go tomorrow, I would make a move on those tickets
today,
this afternoon,
I see,
before that game and before that result comes in.
And if things don't go well, then you just try to sell them in Cleveland.
Exactly.
Andy Anderson, a vice president for Game Time. At GameTime.com, where do people find it?
GameTime.co on the web, but you can go straight to the Android or iPhone store or App Store to download directly.
Well, you know, at the last minute, if a couple of tickets fall in your hand, you know, you got my number now. So.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.